It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 26, and I want to pick up today with verse 21. It says, "Therefore these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." Well, this is Paul speaking. Well, for what cause did the Jews want to kill him? Well, it's for preaching Jesus Christ, for preaching the gospel. And then we read on in verse 22 of Acts 26, where Paul says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Well, Paul recognized that God had helped him to the present time, according to verse 22. The Lord had taken care of him. And once again, we keep reading in verse 23 of Acts 26, where Paul says that Christ should suffer. In other words, this is what he was teaching and preaching, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people, in other words, to the Jews, and then and to the Gentiles. You see, Paul only preached those things which the prophets and Moses had said would come to pass, according to verse 23, that Christ would suffer, that Christ would be the first to rise from the dead, and that Christ would proclaim light to the Jews and Gentiles. You see, Paul's doctrine was perfectly agreeable to the writings of Moses and the prophets concerning the Messiah, as they spoke of him in many places. And the Jews expected the Messiah of whom Moses and the prophets wrote of. Well, this is what they were waiting for, was the Messiah. And what Paul spoke of was in itself and in an entire harmony and agreement between the writings of Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament. This was in all the doctrines of the gospel, revelation. In other words, the things that were revealed within the gospel. Well, we keep reading here. And in verse 24, Festus speaks up. And as Paul spoke, it says, "And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Well, Festus here interjected at Paul's defense with a loud voice. In other words, he's speaking up here, and Festus said, "Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." In other words, you have no common sense, Paul. Something's wrong with you. In verse 25 of chapter 26, Paul says, it says there, "But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." You see, Paul replied to Festus saying that he was not mad. "I am not mad, most noble Festus." He says, "I'm speaking the words of truth, the soberness," in other words, with reason. He's pointing out things that people should know about. And verse 26 goes on to say, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." You know, Paul pointed out that Agrippa knew of the things that he was speaking of because the gospel cannot be hidden. In other words, it can't be done secretly. It's done openly. There's no secret about it. It's done openly that so many people that hear it can be saved if they want to be saved. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 33, it says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 21, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Well, This is not to be done in secret, he's saying here in these verses. Isaiah spoke of the light in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea." This is Isaiah speaking what Jesus, or what God, has done to Israel here. He goes on to say this was done beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." In other words, God had revealed himself to the Jews, to the Israelites, back here in Isaiah we're reading about here. They are without excuse because the light has been from the beginning. Bible says, "In the beginning, God." And of course, we keep reading, and in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," according to John chapter 1. And this is what the people, they did not want to see this evidence. The Jews were blinded. And so Paul's trying to tell them here, the light has shined out of darkness. And this is exactly what Isaiah is saying here. It's not a secret of what Jesus has done and what he's doing even today. Well, notice here, if you would, that in verse 27 of Acts 26, Paul goes on to say, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Now here, Paul is addressing Agrippa. "Do you believe the prophets?" he said. "Well, I know that you do believe." In other words, he knew that Agrippa was schooled in what the prophets had said. In verse 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Well, here we see that, "Paul, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian." And we need to remember this. First, that Agrippa was a Jew, and that he would look on this whole subject in a different manner from the Roman Festus. And secondly, that Agrippa does not appear to have partaken of the violent passions and prejudices of the Jews who had accused Paul. And then, three, we see that his character, as given by Josephus, is that of a mild, candid, and ingenuous man. In other words, a lack of worldly experience. In other words, he knew. He had no particular hostility to Christians. He knew that they were not justly charged with sedition and crime. He knew there was no really a charge against them that could stand. And he also saw the conclusion to which a belief of the prophets was impossible to avoid. But yet he said, "I am almost persuaded to believe." Well, we have no reason to believe that he ever believed. And at the time of his death, we know that according to the scriptures, that King Agrippa is in hell, because if he did not receive Jesus as Savior, he said at that time, "I am almost persuaded." Well, now it's too late, because if he never trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and we have no reason to believe that he did, we have no record of it, then he is in hell suffering today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." People today are lost because they do not want to see. God wants them to see, but they refuse to accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life. He shed his blood that people could go to heaven. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected on that third day. You say, "Well, I've never heard of that before." You've heard of Easter. You know how that the Bible tells us that Jesus rose on the third day, and we celebrate that at Easter, of his resurrection. The Bible says you have no excuse if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, because the gospel is not hidden. It's out there for all to see, because God left us a record, and that record is his word. And he says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power." In other words, the ability to become the sons of the children of God. He is not favoring any one person over another. He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That word whosoever means anyone who would call upon him and ask him to be saved, they too can be saved. And you as a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to keep in mind that Jesus Christ can save anyone. So therefore, do not hesitate to give out the Word of God to everyone and anyone whom you come into contact with, letting them know that Jesus saves. Well, we continue on now in Acts chapter 26. Verse 29 says, "And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." He said, I would pray to God for not only you, Agrippa, but for all those who hear the plan of salvation to understand that they need to be as I am, saved, a saved person. They need to be like me, except I pray that they would not be in these bonds, he's saying. Well, we continue on now, and we read in verses 26, or chapter 26, verses 30 and 31. And when he had thus spoken, this is Paul, after he had spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were going aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Agrippa and the others went aside to consider what they had heard, and they said, this man he doesn't deserve death. He doesn't even deserve these chains that he's in. And verse 32 of Acts 26 says, then said Agrippa and Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Paul had appealed unto Caesar. They pointed out that Paul might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Was this a mistake? I don't think so. God doesn't make any mistakes. God can use, even if we as Christians make a mistake, God can help us turn that around and do the things that God wants us to do. Then he doesn't cast us aside. He's ready to use us no matter who we are or what we've done as a Christian. He's ready to use us if we will simply let him use us. Now, verse 32, once again, of Acts 26 says, then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Had Paul made a mistake by appealing to Caesar? Of course not. No mistake had been made by Paul. Paul would now continue his all-expense-paid trip to Rome. And we're going to read about that in our next lesson that we get to. He would have an all-expense-paid trip to Rome, and we're going to witness what Paul did. He became the sailor man in Acts chapter 27. There was no mistakes made by Paul in this instance. Once again, he took every opportunity to present Jesus Christ. And once again, he said that he made no difference in presenting it to the small and to the great. In other words, to the least person that would be considered the least, to the highest. He presented the gospel to the king. He presented the gospel to whomever he had the opportunity to present the gospel to. To those people who had put him in chains, he presented the gospel, and to all those people he came into contact with. And we too, as saved people, need to be presenting the gospel to everyone we come into contact with.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.